Youth soccer organizations in Bloomington Normal have been quietly raising money for over a year now to ensure kids will have a place to play after next year. It has been quiet because the Illinois Fire juniors still are not sure where that new site will be. The FAA has already extended a lease for community fields near Central Illinois Regional Airport three times in the last decade and will soon take back the land. Illinois Fire juniors Secretary Jeremy Kelly tells WGLT's Eric Stock the league is holding out hope that a proposed youth sports complex for Bloomington Normal will come to fruition.
The grass is not growing yet. We don't have a location. We haven't built out anything, but we are making steps. We've been raising money. We've been talking various landowners. Not ready to make an announcement yet, but we're getting a lot closer than we were. Obviously, these things take a little bit of time, but we feel very, very positive that here in a year and a half, we'll have our new facility at least started, hopefully being built quite a bit.
Now, we reported in May of last year that the Illinois Fire juniors had started fundraising for the new soccer fields, as you alluded to. At the time, you'd said you were looking for $2.25 million. How has that specifically been going, and are you at a point where there will be a full-fledged public campaign?
Yeah, we're getting into that full-fledged public campaign. As you mentioned, we had said at that point we had looked through what it would take roughly to buy the land, grade the land, do the super basics. I mean, get grass growing, paint some lines, and move to our new location. Since then, we've been able to really dig into the numbers. We think in order to replicate our current fields someplace else, we would need actually about $3 million to get that done. So we're raising money, still continuing on that path. At the same time, as you know, there's the proposal out there and the talk that could the city or town come in and do something. If they were to open a facility and do something, we would be their biggest tenant, clearly. We would be there. But we're kind of keeping our options open, realizing, though, the clock is running out and we have to have fields here in a year and a half.
Well, that goes into what I was going to touch on next, that city leaders in Bloomington and Normal have explored the idea of a youth sports complex that would serve the needs of the local soccer community and others, too. A consultant last year said that such a complex would cost about $43 million, and that's if you build it today. But it would be a net positive in terms of economic development, growing the tax base, etc. Both communities at the time said that that was too big a lift, even with both of them getting in on it together. It would have to be led by a private developer. They've indicated that that could possibly happen, but it kind of was put on the back burner for a while. City Manager Pam Reese in Normal told us last week that the idea is moving back to the front burner again because the study's lifespan is going to expire soon. What kind of talks has the soccer community had with leaders in Bloomington and Normal toward this becoming a reality at some point?
Sure. We've been talking with them and the CVB and others for a while just so that they could understand, you know, what is our need? How many people do we have? How much are we using the fields? We did a feasibility study, I want to say 6 months ago or so, where we went through and figured out exactly how much, how many fields we would use, the hours, if there was indoor space, what that would take, and gave that to them. I know city leaders did that with us, with lacrosse, with cricket, some of the other sports, for example. And we've been in conversation letting them know that, hey, if that does proceed, obviously we would be their biggest tenant. We do need space. We do need fields for our kids to play. We're fine with that. But if that doesn't come to fruition, we just can't sit on the sidelines. So we have to kind of plan for both options.
And some might look at this and say, if this is something that the soccer community needs and would benefit the soccer community, and that's clearly the case, why not just have the soccer community pay for a facility themselves rather than something that would probably have a considerable taxpayer burden?
Sure, and that's a legitimate argument. The counter to that would be that if we took our existing fields and basically replicated it someplace, you could have a couple tournaments a year. You wouldn't possibly have that big economic development that even a facility like Rockford, Illinois has. They have a pretty big indoor space. They have turf fields. They're lighted. Those are all things that we don't even have running water, electricity, and bathrooms at our fields. So we're not exactly attracting tournaments at our current facility like you would with a facility like that, not to mention Rockford programs, lacrosse, ultimate frisbee. I mean, tons of other sports that tons of people are coming into that community. So I think that's what that economic study is looking at, of this multi-sport complex could bring in money if we just owe a lot more money than if we just replicated what we currently have someplace else.
But staying on the financial front, if the town of Normal and the city of Bloomington, if both of them were involved in this, were to say, okay, we're going to build this, but the soccer community will largely have to underwrite this basically through user fees, registration fees, whatever the case may be. Is that something that the soccer community could support?
Well, I wouldn't know what the financials are. I mean, we'd need to, not trying to be coy, but we would need to talk to city leadership and look at those. Obviously, we would probably be that biggest tenant. We would have the user fees we would be paying on an ongoing basis for using the fields, using indoor space. Certainly, if it was a larger, nicer, turf, lighted complex, we'd probably have more tournaments, more opportunities, and we would be supporting by bringing in more outside activity than we currently do. But I don't know the numbers. You know, could we completely pay for it ourselves? I'm not sure. I would need to look at the numbers.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock with Jeremy Kelly, who's the secretary for the Illinois Fire Juniors, and Marin King, who's the director of coaching for youth soccer here in Bloomington Normal. And Coach King, if you can paint a picture for us and explain how vast and how strong the soccer community is among our youth here in the Twin Cities.
So, yeah, I think that soccer is definitely a sport that is growing, very popular in our community. U.S. Soccer recently made some changes to the coaching education. They really want soccer to be the preeminent sport in the United States. Here locally, you know, our competitive club, we have around about 700 players that tried out for us this summer. That goes from under 8 to under 19. The recreational club is between 13 and 1400 players. Again, that's under 5 to high school, again, but under 18. So those are our two main programs, which is very popular. The high schools all have teams, is very popular. And then throughout the year, we run a lot of other different programs. Say our summer programs just recently completed, and we work with both Parks and Recs, and we basically have a number of programs over the summer with about 800 to an extra 1,000 players. So very strong, very popular, and it's going from strength to strength.
How has that trended within the last 10 to 20 years, do you feel? I know you've not been here for an entire decade yet, but what is your sense for where that has trended?
Yeah, I think we're definitely trending up. I believe in 2012, when I was when I first came here to the club, I think the competitive side had about 300 players. So we've significantly improved. And I think also with the coverage on TV now and the internet of English Premier League, the women's soccer here in the country, the success of the women's national team, that it certainly, and also some of the safety issues with some of the other sports, that there's certainly the trend of players playing soccer seems to be on the rise.
How much has the women's soccer team here winning the World Cup helped? And maybe it's too soon to gauge that, but at least in terms of enthusiasm for soccer on the women's side after what they have accomplished in defending their World Cup title.
Well, that's a good question. I think that, you know, in the past, you know, you know, little girls or girls playing soccer, you know, you may not have seen them with, you know, different shirts with their favorite players in the back. They may have had a Barcelona shirt or an Arsenal shirt, whereas more likely now you're going to see them with women national team shirts on with their favorite players. It's more accessible for them. I think that girls in general are more interested in soccer. I think those numbers have grown, but I still think that there's room for more growth on the girls' side for sure locally. I think there's some, you know, and across the country, I think there's other competing sports that they would do as well.
And what about on the boys' side, where the national team has not been quite as successful, did not even qualify for the World Cup last year? Where do they fit in the mix now?
The boys' numbers are always pretty consistently strong. I would say that it's a popular sport for boys. I don't think that, from what I've seen, the national team would have necessarily an impact on the boys' side. I think that because there's so much other male soccer on the TV, Premier League, Spanish League, those types of things, I find that most of our players would be interested in those more than the national team. But again, U.S. soccer made some changes last year in their coaching education and throughout their programming that they want to change that. They want the men's national team to be more successful and soccer to be the preeminent sport in our country.
More schools are picking up soccer, it appears, in Illinois, and there has also been a drop of participation in football, or American football, as you would call it. Are those two things connected?
I think so, absolutely. I think there's a connection there for sure. I think that as people become more aware of the different injuries that you can get in these different sports, in general, soccer is a, you know, there's less concussions, I would say, particularly on the men's side, although there are. That's something that our sport has looked at. But I think absolutely there's a connection there for players coming into soccer.
How much do you concern yourself with the space needs of the soccer community and the ticking clock that after 2020, unless a deal is done, you're not going to have soccer fields, at least not to the extent that you do now?
I think absolutely it's a concern. I think one of the things that we look at as a coaching staff and as a club is the environment. So part of the environment is obviously the practice facilities. You know, if you have good practice facilities, it will encourage more players to play. You know, the practice facilities are nice. So there's running water. You know, that's going to help people to stay, particularly for players, I would say, on the recreational side, if they're brand new to the game. They want to come into an environment that is safe, is welcoming. So certainly a home that would, you know, potentially be an upgrade would help. Yeah.
And as we continue on Sound Ideas with Jeremy Kelly and Marin King, as we're discussing the local soccer community and efforts that the Illinois Fire Juniors have made to find a new soccer home after the fields near Central Illinois Regional Airport are likely going to go away, if not in 2020, then by the following year. Now, the Prairie City Soccer League and Illinois Fusion have been in the midst of a merger that's been going on for several years. From what I understand, it's largely complete with just some housekeeping matters to be dealt with. So what has been the benefit, Jeremy, of joining forces?
One of the huge benefits is that now we have a complete program. You know, we have the travel side in-house. We have the recreational side in-house. We both entities had always worked pretty closely together in the past and got closer and closer as the years went on. But now we're starting to see a lot more seamless integration where you'll have kids come in and start playing rec soccer. They don't know what it's about. They learn a little bit. They might have some success. They might like it. And they might say, hey, it's time to step over to a travel side and try that. And I don't know how many kids do we have go back and forth this year, but I know it's been increased over the past few years. And then that allows us to, you have more numbers, you're able to build out and give more options. So on the high end, we have programs like Emerging Talent Program, which is the super competitive, tied in with MLS, with Chicago Fire from the MLS. We're able to offer programs like Top Soccer, which is kind of a miracle league, if you will, for kids that can't play otherwise. So it allows us to offer people more options, more paths, and serve the community in a better way.
And you had alluded to the Chicago Fire, the new partnership that the Illinois Fire Juniors have with the Fire as an affiliate of the professional soccer team. How has soccer in Bloomington Normal benefited from that partnership?
I'd say besides Myrn would talk about the coaching and some of the resources and the back end side, from a player perspective, just that emerging talent program as a for example for that really, really kind of elite competitive player, able to get some exposure to other players, realize the bigger world of soccer outside of just Bloomington Normal. That's a definite advantage. Carrying just the name and the affiliation, you probably get more college coaches and more people, scout types looking at our kids. And then it also elevates the play a little bit because you have people coming at you in a different way than if you're wearing a Fusion jersey or some of the other ones.
I think it's fantastic. I think in the past here, you know, we were just really an entity by ourselves, but now we're part of a network of 11 other clubs. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on there. We're able to bring our coaches up and watch the first team train. Our coaches sit right on the side beside World Cup winners. We get to meet all the backroom staff, the general manager of Chicago Fire, and also there's a lot of interaction that we help one another. We help one another with guest players. We give our players opportunities to play in national competitions. There is European trips every year. There's a lot of different stuff, and I think we're pretty still early in a lot of these things. I mean, I'm just excited with the possibilities that we're now able to offer players that we were never able to do before. So it's exciting.
Thank you.
That's Myron King, director of coaching for the Illinois Fire Juniors, along with the group's secretary, Jeremy Kelly, with WGLT's Eric Stock. Kelly says this past spring showed how much the soccer community would suffer without community fields. They were rained out for much of the spring, sending teams elsewhere to play in any park or open field they could find. Few were big enough or level enough. He says a third of the games had to be canceled.